This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420 is coming up right around the corner. But joining us now, former NFL executive, the best man at Brian's wedding. You'll hear him on the GM Shuffle podcast. It's the great Michael Lombardi here with you on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you guys? You recovered? Everything good? That storm was a bad one last week.
Yeah, we've had some storms.
Fun one, man.
We've had some disappointing Cowboys football. A big question here this week, sir, is, Niners, one of your former teams, kind of vulnerable. Are they down enough the Cowboys could actually beat them?
Oh, I think it'll be a close game, yeah. I mean, look, the Niners have really struggled. They went from being one of the most explosive offenses when they were in base personnel with McCaffrey, Ayuk, Kittle, Debo, you know, and then you sprinkle in, you know, Jennings and whomever else they want to put on the field. They were fast, and now they're slow as can be. They have no explosiveness. And if they can't get the run game going, which they should be able to against Dallas, you know, it makes it really hard. I thought Purdy played one of his worst games going back to when he played against Baltimore at home on, I think it was Thanksgiving night. You know, that was the time he played poorly. This is a team that is typical of teams that go to the Super Bowl and lose. They have a lot of injuries. They don't have the same drive, the same motivation that they had. I think they're tired. And I think yesterday they really were never in that game. It might have been 14-12, but the Kansas City Chiefs defense was just way too superior to the 49er offense. So, hey, look, this is against two teams that used to be really good but aren't as good anymore.
What are some of the issues you've been seeing with the Cowboys? A lot was made with Troy Aikman's comments about the route running at receiver. Mike McCarthy said, I don't really agree with the choice of words there from Troy. But what are some of the things out of the bye week? I mean, can you even do much in the bye week to correct all their problems?
Well, you should be able to do a lot. You got to self-scout the hell out of it, right? You got to sit down in a room and say, why are we 31st in red zone offense? Why are we 31st in red zone defense? I mean, that's the number one thing they got to do. Forget about the route running. They got to figure out how to get the ball in the end zone and keep the other team from getting it in the end zone. That's the way you win games. Look, everybody's got an opinion on what's wrong with the Cowboys. I said it last offseason. Everybody laughed at me. I don't think they're as talented as the media has made them out to be. They've got some really talented players, but they've got some huge concerns in both lines, especially a defensive tackle. They're not very big at linebacker. People can run the football. Look, you know, Mike Zimmer didn't become a bad coach overnight, right? They can coach. They know what they're doing. They just can't seem to get it with the personnel. You know, three things happen to a football team. And, you know, I've said this and I wrote about it in Gridiron Genius. Football teams are like going to the veterinarian. They don't talk to you. You have to have systems in place to diagnose what's wrong, just like a vet does. You bring your dog to the vet. The dog doesn't tell the vet what ails him. The vet figures it out. It's the same thing with football teams. It's either players, coaches, or schemes, right? And I really think as much heat as Mike McCarthy gets, his schemes are good, right? And I think he coaches well offensively. But I just don't know if they have enough, and especially when they have a clutch. They don't have a running game, which kills them. You know, look, Goff threw the ball 25 times. Goff's on this incredible three-game streak where he's not thrown any incompletions. He hasn't thrown the ball more than 25 times in a game because they can balance it. Look, I know this. You can't run the football and score points. I get that, right? Mm-hmm. But what the running game does for you is control the game. You get control of the football game when you can run it. And then it allows you to make big plays down the field in terms of play action pass. The Cowboys have no run game. They never are going to be in control of the game, ever. And because they can't run the ball effectively, they don't have as much explosiveness down the field. Those are two things that go hand in hand. So, look, I think that's the problem offensively. And then defensively, I think it's really a talent issue. They have no tackles. Their corner situation isn't as good as it's been. And when they can't play from in front, right?
Right.
Okay, so last year they led the National Football League in 124-point differential at halftime. Most important stat in all of football. First half point differential. They were number one in that category. This year they're behind in a half. So teams can keep running the ball. Last year they ran the ball on the Cowboys, just nobody paid attention to it. In the five losses, they gave up massive amount of run yards in those games because they weren't playing from ahead.
If you're in that front office right now, do you have any regret with the Dak and CeeDee Lamb contracts, or is this sort of a blip on the radar?
I think it's a blip on the radar. Look, I mean, Dak, you paid him, you had to pay him. I mean, where are they going to go? You know, it's easy to say don't pay Dak, but then you want to live without Dak? We've all gone through that. You get fired when you do that. So I think, to me, they got to build the right team around Dak. I think the biggest issue is they got to have a legitimate good run game. I think what I don't want Dak, I think Dak's a really good player. I don't want Dak thrown it 40 times a game. I just don't. I think there's got to take some pressure off of him. But you got to be in control of the game to do that. And, look, they've got good players. Look, I mean, look at Detroit. I mean, Detroit's sitting up there. I'm going to say Brown's a good player. Jared Goff is – Jared Goff was never thought he's better than Dak, but he's playing really well. They have balance to what they do because they have a really good center, and they have two really good tackles and everything else in between. I mean, they were playing backup guards last day and still were able to run the ball against Minnesota, who's hard to run the ball on. So I think, to me, that's the bigger issue is, look, when people say we need to run the ball, it's so boring and it's so outdated. But what it brings to you is the ability to control the game. Mm-hmm. And that's something the Cowboys can't do.
Michael, okay, you can't control the game. Is it more you talked about Mike McCarthy and you're okay with the scheme. Are you struggling with the offensive line or are you struggling with the backs?
I'm struggling with the offensive line. I just think, to me, that was the weakness of the team last year, Brian. I think when you watch the Philly game, right? All right, they got Philly, they got the ball first and goal with the five. What happened? Steele doesn't block Riddick. Next thing you know, we can't win that game.
Yeah.
I think every time they got to play a good team, they struggled to protect. I think the line, now look, they drafted some good young players in Guyton and Beebe, and they're going to be good, but it's going to take some time, right? It's just going to take some time. They've got to get more physical. You know, they've got to be able to control the line. I think the back needs to help them as well. You know, I think Zeke's a short yardage back. I mean, I think Jerry sees Zeke something different than I see Zeke. You know, I think Zeke would be a good finisher on the goal line. Dowdle is a good player. Is he elite? I don't think so. Look, I think there's a combination of things, but they've got to be able to be more physical up front. There's no question about that.
Mike Lombardi here with you in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Cowboys. So this year, you know, it's kind of a lost cause probably, unless you get some sort of a miracle. But when you talk about the talent, like, how bad off are these Cowboys in the medium to long term as far as this standard they've created for the last 10 years? It feels like they're losing touch with it.
Yeah, well, I do think they have. I mean, I think Will McClay does a good job. They find players, right? And they're going to have to. But, you know, they're picking down there in the bottom of the first round. They take Mazi Smith, and then somewhere in the 20s. You're not going to hit on all those picks. I mean, and I think the draft is going to get weaker and weaker as we move along because of NIL. I think these kids are going to stay in school, so the back end finding guys in the fourth and fifth round are going to be a lot harder because they're going to be seniors in the fourth and fifth round. They're not going to be juniors or redshirt sophomores that come out because they're getting paid too much money to be a fifth-round pick to stay in school. Right. So there's no sense in leaving. I mean, would you leave the frat house and have it all the free time to come make it your job? Of course not. I mean, why not stay at one of those campuses and have as much fun as you could have? So I think the draft's going to get watered down. You're going to have to be really good at finding players in between the margins, right? And I think that's what they didn't do this offseason, whereas Washington didn't sign any marquee free agents, but they took a lot of the players that really helped Dallas last year. They're not elite players. I'm not sitting here saying they signed, but they signed some really good players that helped their team. And I think that's ultimately what can do. I mean, Frankie Louvu, whether it's you know, Jeremy Chin. I mean, they took Armstrong. They took a lot of guys. They took Fowler. They took guys that can help them. Not that they're elite, don't get me wrong, but they certainly can help them, and it gives them depth, which you need.
Michael, I'd love to pick your brain kind of on the team building philosophy, because that's, I think, a big issue that we've had with Jerry and the Cowboys. They're very draft and develop, which is awesome. But from what you just pointed out with what Washington just did, not so much active in when it comes to free agency, and then the trades are kind of few and far between here. When it comes to the excuse of, okay, we've paid the quarterback, we've paid CeeDee Lamb, all the cap limitations, how real is that when it comes to constructing the front office, and what do you think about the way the Cowboys do it?
Well, look, you made choices, right? I mean, you decided to pay CeeDee Lamb. That's a great choice. You decided to keep Brandon Cooks at his number. You could have probably swapped out Cooks for Derrick Henry. You made a choice, you know, and that's a choice you make. Right, that's kind of what you, the way you construct your team. That's kind of what everything is in terms of personnel. So for me, I think you've got to be able to find guys that can come in and be really good players that nobody else had. And I think they've done that before, right? They found guys that could come in and help them down. Look. I mean, Detroit gets Tim Patrick on their team, who was basically cut by Denver. He comes in, he's averaging 16 yards a catch. He's helping them. We did it all the time in New England. There's two programs you have to run, right? You got to have a program where you're drafting and developing, and you're developing young players. But then you have to have what I call the junior college program, where you got guys that can come in and play. We learned this from Joe Gibbs. This is probably Belichick learned more from watching Joe Gibbs than he did anybody. Joe Gibbs would never, ever play a young player. He had this kid, Ray Brown, from Arkansas Pine Bluff, who was a tight end in college, right? Ray Brown was really talented, but they moved him into offensive line. They redshirted that guy for 2 years. They signed veterans off the street. They let the veterans kind of get him through. And then when Ray Brown was ready to play, they had a really good player. And so that's how you develop players. You understand where your team is. You find veterans to bridge that gap for just a little bit. And then you develop the young players. If you ask the young guys to play right away, they're just not ready to play.
Michael, if this job comes open for the Cowboys, is it an inviting job for somebody to take?
Well, I mean, look, they have a quarterback. That's one of the main things that makes the job attractive. Do you have a quarterback, right?
Right.
I mean, do you have a quarterback that you think you can win with? And they've obviously won. Now, they haven't won any playoff games with them, but you can win a game with them. They have won a playoff game, but you know what I'm saying. They haven't won a big one. So, for me, I think that makes it attractive. You got incredible facilities. You're in a state that has tax-free, you're not paying any taxes on it. You could go down and help solve the JFK murder if you come into town there. That makes it attractive as well. So, yeah, I think it's a hell of a job.
All right, let me ask you this then. Does your friend have, would he accept this job? Would Coach Belichick look at this job?
I can't speak for him, Brian. I think a lot of it would have to come between conversations between Jerry and him. I mean, I think Bill's one of the great listeners of all time. And I think, to me, he's never been a dictator. I've said this to you off air. I mean, he's never been, this is my way or no way. He's a great listener. Now, you got to bring some juice to you. You can't throw change-ups at him because he'll hit him out of the park.
Right.
You better bring some heat, and you better bring some understanding of what's going on in pro football if you're going to try to get him to convince him to do something. So, look, I can't speak for him. I know that he's working his tail off in studying the league. He's doing all these media gigs. I work with him every Monday and Tuesday up at NFL Films. And he's on top of the game. He's on top of the players. And I think, to me, you know, what happened in New England is it wasn't really fair. Guy wins 6 Super Bowls. He gets kicked to the curb for Gerard Mayo, who really has never coached. But that's the owner's prerogative. That's what they can do now.
Yeah, and a final question on that, because you have relationships with Bill and with Bill Parcells. Could it be better than what they had with Bill Parcells here?
Well, I think, look, Bill has great respect for Steve, and I do know that, and he has great respect for Jerry. And Bill's a very respect, not saying Parcells isn't, but I think, to me, again, it comes down to listening and understanding. I think Bill always wants to have certain people around him that know who he is. You know, one thing about my relationship with Belichick, if I said, Bill, this guy fits the program, that's all I would need to say. There's no more conversation, right? Because we both know what the program represents. I think that's the hard challenge, is to get people to understand what he's looking for.
Michael, we're almost at the 1 year anniversary of the Texas Rangers World Championship Parade, where our guy, Brian Broaddus, had himself a day. We saw him go buck wild for the first time in, ever, from our perspective. It was boozing, it was dancing, it was having a great time.
And red beans and rice, I hope.
Is Mardi Gras Brian on full display?
He hit the Chinese buffet afterwards. I don't think there was red beans and rice that day, but I don't know what time. Is that the broadest that you grew in love when you guys were hanging out together?
I've never even seen that one, but I would love to. But look, you know, one thing about Brian, when you have a friend like Brian, you got a great friend. So whatever Brian it is, whether it's Mardi Gras Brian, whether it's LSU Brian, whether it's Red Bryce and Breen's Brian, you got a hell of a guy.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you,
brother.
Yeah, he wasn't going crazy at the wedding day?
The shimmies?
No, he was pretty good. I mean, we were all going crazy, but he was pretty much under control.
Damn
you
it.
Know, he was doing good, which is, you know, kind of surprising, but, you know, it was fun. We all had a blast. I still remember it. It was a hell of a day.
His rebellious side is starting to really come out these days, Michael. So hopefully we'll keep him contained.
Hey, we'll get old, man. You know, it's tough now when you get older. I mean, even Springsteen said that the other day, last night on TV. He said, shoot, I used to be able to sleep to 2 o'clock. Now I can't sleep past 8:30. It's called getting old, man.
Michael Lombardi, GM Shuffle Podcast. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes. Thank you, Mike. Top 10 at 4:20 is coming up next. Bully, what do you got?
It's a big day for you, Gavin. It is National Back to the Future Day.
Let's go.
The top 10 old movies that have actually aged well. What's an older movie that you still watch today and you're like, damn, that holds up? That's next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Explanation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. You know it's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20 every day at this time. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks at DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump to frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. You're really bully.
Thank you very much. Going to get into the top 10 here. Top 10 best movies that have aged well when it comes to, I'd say probably like 15 plus years, 20 plus years. They still holding up today. We do have a flex, though. We got a week 9 flex in the National Football League. Get ready, boys. I love a good schedule flex.
San Francisco-Dallas?
It's not San Francisco-Dallas.
Oh,
I would have appreciated that. Would have loved to not play on Sunday Night Football where the world is watching, and maybe we could have gotten a better game on then. It's week 9. Indianapolis at Minnesota. Ooh. That game is going to move to Sunday Night Football on NBC. Jacksonville and Filthy is going to now move up to 3:05 on CBS. So they're getting rid of the Eagles and the Jags, and they're sliding in the Colts and the Vikings.
Yeah, it's not like a huge win in the trade.
Does that move the needle at all?
It's definitely a better game. You've got Vikings who are competing for first place in their division, and surprisingly, the Colts are 4-3 and also looking like they're going to be competing for a playoff spot as well. So you have the Jags, who are one of the worst teams in the league,
yes.
and the Eagles, who are also
tough to watch.
It went from bad game to somewhat compelling.
Right.
Even though,
they have
Minnesota and Indy. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're snapping
your
fingers.
It's not a dumpster fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not like
you're. I'd rather watch Minnesota Indy in prime time.
Yes.
For sure.
No, this is a win for for
but
NBC.
But it's not like, holy crap, Houston and Green Bay.
Right. You always envision the flex switch being like, hey, we have a bad matchup and we're now going to turn it into a star studded
game of the week, baby.
Get your popcorn ready kind of game.
Put a rule in here where, like, because they allow Fox and CBS to save a game.
Yeah, no, you have to let them save.
Which is hurting, right. So you're not going to get the primetime game that you probably would like to see because CBS is then saying, no, we want to keep X game. And Fox is saying we want to keep X game. But should we just try and make it to where we're getting the best game on primetime?
Yeah, I would just say just be better when it comes to putting this thing together before the season. Like, how many times do we have to see the Giants? I think we got the Giants on Sunday Night Football this week. The Steelers. What before the season made you think that the Steelers or the Giants were going to be fun teams to watch? You have the Colts. You have the Colts in Sunday. Well, you had the Jaguars. Excuse me. You had the Jaguars in Sunday Night Football. It's like that was your preseason thought. Like this is probably going to work out for us. We're going to put the Jaguars in there.
Maybe they're actually going to be a good team. I mean, for like the one game that they get. But yeah, it's just hard. Like coming into the season, people probably didn't think Minnesota was going to be any good. I know I didn't. Now they just lost their first game.
Yeah. They might be having second thoughts about Dallas right now.
Yeah.
But the thing about Dallas is they always pull. So you never really have to worry about Dallas because even though Dallas is not
sure,
playing
it pulls,
well right now.
But is it the best game?
No, it's the same thing with the New York market and the Giants. I mean,
well, if the goal is ratings, then it probably is still the best game.
Tom Brady's done, what, 4-year games so far this year?
I know, it stinks.
And three of them have been blowouts, right?
I finally got my first.
He did Cleveland week one, and then he's done, Saints?
He did the Saints game.
Detroit. You're thinking like a football guy, though. Think like a TV executive, Brian. Uh-huh. Then you're closer to what the NFL is all about.
I'm into the flexing for the primetime window. I love it, and I think that we should just let
it's good.
Steal whichever the best game is you want.
Do you guys, let me ask you this, okay, and be honest. Do you always watch the primetime game?
Yes. No.
What do you mean? Like at night?
The Sunday night game.
I will always watch at least a portion of it. If the game turns out to be bad like
last night.
You watch
Monday night football?
Yes, I will always watch a portion of the game.
Waiting all day for a Sunday night, bro. If I don't hear that song on Sunday night, my Sunday night doesn't feel complete.
Damn,
that lady gets $1 million a week for that.
Sure does.
Worth
every
penny.
It all in one day.
So during football season, there's no negotiating with the fam. It's just this is Sunday night and this is Monday night.
No, I will say, like, when it was Broncos-Saints, I watched 5 minutes of Broncos-Saints
the
other night.
If I know the game is bad, then there can be maneuvering.
Sunday night's usually a strong matchup. That's usually a game that you want to see to some extent. I'm always watching it. Thursday night's a different story.
We're usually doing the post-game, so it's kind of like you're kind of – Ruben's nice enough to put it up on his pad so we can kind of see what's going on. But there'll be times where I'm not interested in the Monday night game or a Sunday night game. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't sit there and watch every single game.
Well, that's because you're pretty well invested into the Penguin, and I think we can all at least
I have not missed an episode.
I think I'm three behind on it right now, which is just glorious because I got an entire afternoon ahead of it.
I certainly pivoted at halftime and switched over to the Penguin last night. And
good for you, man.
Did not regret it. Did not, especially after I saw the Steelers just pull away during the second half. All right, let's get to the top 10. Top 10 movies that are older, that have aged really well, and that are still good to this day. 877-881-1053. This is in honor of Back to the Future Day. They get their own national day. We've got most of the James Bond movies from the 817. Top Gun, Die Hard, The Terminator, Face Off, Gone in 60 Seconds from the 817.
There's been some James Bonds that haven't been very good.
I do, yes, 100%.
Definitely better than others, I agree.
I feel like for timeless movies, at some point it's generational. They were doing a lot of art stuff, and the cinematography was weird up until like the late 80s.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to look good. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know that I can't get past like the opening scenes because it's just too old-fashioned.
Like Goldfinger, you're not going back and watching?
No.
No.
Well, you're not going back to the 1970s. See, I have a problem with some of the actors.
Oh, the acting a lot of times is not very good.
The James Bond itself.
Ooh, you didn't like the James Bond
actors. Who's the worst Bond?
Sean Connery.
Who is the worst?
No, I thought Sean Connery.
Sean's there.
Who is my guy? Gosh.
Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
Don't Pierce you ask Brosnan, on Pierce.
Yeah, like Pierce? He, no, he wasn't good.
Oh. What?
Pierce Brosnan. No,
Pierce was the first. No. Pierce was fine. There was nothing wrong with Pierce.
You just don't like him? You didn't like Dante's Peak either?
I'll
punch you right now.
I just have never. Yeah, I've never been a big fan of his.
No Pearson. Oh, well, Mamma Mia. I'm anti Mamma Mia over here.
Please put on Mrs. Doubtfire and just soak up all the Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, well, yes.
I mean, at some point
Mrs.
he needs
Doubtfire,
to do that.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't like Pierce in that movie, but that's because he was such a damn good actor.
Right. Exactly.
You didn't want to like him in that movie.
Thank you.
Timothy Dalton.
TD.
Timothy Dalton was not good in the two that he was in.
All right, I can bite
did
on
do
that.
Did he Die Another Day? Was that his James Bond, Pierce Brosnan?
Timothy Dalton was the Living Daylights and then also License to Kill.
Okay. To Kill you didn't like?
I didn't like Timothy Dalton.
But the movie itself was still good.
Yeah, I love James Bond.
That's fine.
You know, like when you,
like
some
the
of
Batman,
these guys.
Some are better than others.
I will say this. I think Sean Connery's the best. And I think that when you, and now when you finish off with Daniel Craig, I think it's pretty good.
Daniel
too.
Craig's been damn good.
Yeah.
All right, Lucius, my fellow movie buff. What are some older movies to this day you're like, damn, they still
I wrote down
up.
A few. I only wrote down four.
I was hoping a top 10 of you.
Yeah, okay. The Killing. There's a movie called The Killing by Stanley Kubrick.
Okay.
It's from the 50s.
Okay. Oh,
some men go rob a horse track. Dude, it's amazing.
Stanley Kubrick's Arsenal.
It's from the 50s, bro. It's still amazing.
A lot of those
it's called The Killing?
The Killing.
It's about they're trying to rob a racetrack?
Yep. There's a plot to rob a racetrack.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
Sterling Hayden. You have Colleen Gray, Vince Edwards, J.C. Flippin. Star-studded cast.
Citizen Kane, of course, still holds up, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's very good.
Eraserhead, if you've never seen that movie, that's a wild one.
Eraserhead
is a wild one. That's an old movie, 77? But it holds up.
Wow, look at the hair on that guy.
Yeah, dude,
I have
he's
not
wild,
seen
man.
This one.
It's a wild dude.
I need to put this on the board.
He looks like our engineer up here, Chris, but with a whole lot of hair on his head.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he does look like
dude, that's Orodot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, you see it?
With the best head of
that's
lettuce you've ever
call
seen.
Right there.
Yeah. And, of course, The Godfather.
Yeah, The Godfather still
holds. Oh,
yeah.
Timeless.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
I wonder what LeBron's favorite quote is from that movie.
I do, too.
Really, from the whole series.
Just, I wonder what his favorite one is. We had a lot of good texts coming in. Of course, Back to the Future. The Predator and the Alien franchise. 12 Angry Men, I'm with you, 214. I watched that again a few years back. Still holds up.
Heavyweights, 254.
Heavyweights does. Braveheart, Gladiator, Saving Private Ryan. All great calls. I saw on this, this time 30 years ago, Pulp Fiction, Forrest Gump, and Shawshank Redemption were all in theaters at the same time.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
How spoiled were we?
Shawshank won the Academy Award that year, didn't it?
I believe yes. That year was just unbelievably stacked. Are you kidding?
That's one of those weekends.
All three of those still hold up to the, they're classics, some of the best ever.
That's one of those weekends where you pull a triple header on a Saturday.
Yeah.
By yourself. Just you got a bunch of cheeseburgers in your hoodie pocket.
Go half a gummy.
Ready to go.
Mad Dog style.
Yeah, Mad Dog style. Yeah. I like that.
Be the way to go. Honorable mentions. We've got Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10 here is Kelly's Heroes, which I cannot say that I saw.
Oh, it's an excellent movie.
Okay. It's got a lot of good
excellent. Yeah. It's got an unbelievable cast of actors.
It's ranked as one of the best 70s comedy movies of all time.
We watched a couple.
It was a war movie.
It is. It's a war comedy, though, apparently.
Okay.
A Womedy.
The Womedy.
War comedy. That's tough to pull off.
I mean, Glorious Bastards kind of has a little bit of that in it.
Yeah, a little bit.
We watched a couple in senior year film class. American Graffiti, 1962, where I first fell in love with Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum.
Nice.
And then The Seven Samurai, which is a 1950s film, silent film for like 8 hours. It took us 2 or 3 weeks to get through this thing.
It's 8 hours.
And somehow it was totally amazing.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
It's got to be. If you're an 8 hour silent movie.
Well, we'd watch it like 40 minutes at a time, you know? And you're drowning in silly simon, right? Among other things.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Number 9, old movies that still hold up to this day. Clue. A Clue is, that's one where I pop it on TV if it's on. I'll watch it. It's good. It still holds up. The Exorcist.
There's good
8.
Aesthetics. The Exorcist, yes. Still scary.
It is.
Terrifying.
Demolition Man at number 7.
I don't know about that.
Really? Not a fan?
Dumb and Dumber better be on here. Dumb and Dumber text about it.
Dumb and Dumber got texted. Did not make it on this, but Dumb and Dumber, like, to me, like 90s. I guess it is. It is now. It's an old movie.
At this point, I mean, what, 30 years is probably like
It's definitely in the category, yeah. 100%.
You're getting old, boys. Congratulations.
Lost Boys at number 6. Still great. The Great Escape at number 5. You had to have seen The Great Escape.
Yeah.
That's an amazing movie. Amazing 60s. Movie, yeah.
I think the movie Blade is highly underrated. Dude, you go back to 98 for that one.
Blade is. And I guess The Matrix would fall into this now at 99. Oh, you watch The Matrix to this day, still holds up.
Yep.
Stand By Me at number 4.
100%.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
The Fifth Element, number 3.
I don't think I've seen it.
I never. I've seen pieces of it, but yeah. I mean.
What you screaming for?
The Chris Tucker outfit in that movie, bro.
Yeah, he's a radio host.
Oh, my gosh.
Number 2 is Jurassic Park.
Oh, come on.
The first Jurassic Park still holds up. You don't think so?
I would have edited that list. Probably.
It was still a novelty. Like Con Air or something.
The first Jurassic Park, I think, is still good. All the sequels, yeah.
Okay.
Spare me. Number 1, though, is Back to the Future in terms of best older movies that still hold up to this day. I do think the entire trilogy of Lord of the Rings, which got texted in, still holds up. It's incredible. Bill and Ted.
Oh, Bill and Ted.
American History X.
Oh my gosh.
Put your mouth on the curve.
Oh my, dude.
Dude, I've never.
Never forget the first time I saw that.
That was the first of many. Silence of the Lambs, absolutely. That movie will still freak you out at 2-1-4 texting in. My Cousin Vinny, great film.
Goonies. Oh, yeah, yeah. My Cousin Vinny is hysterical. Men.
Star Wars.
Breakfast Club.
So many good ones. Breakfast Club, absolutely. Still holds up. All the Rockies. Let's go.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
A terrific top 10 for the ages is in the books, and we're heading out for a GBAC Nation Presents You Make the Call. Sounded like you had a pretty crazy weekend, Woolchuck.
Yeah, we got to relive the Bobby Will argument, and what would you do if your friend did this to your couch? That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. Welcome back, Nation. Football's finest coming up at 5 o'clock. It's time now for a GBAC Nation Presents You Make the Call. Here's Woolchuck.
All right, shall we start on Sunday at my house, or should we start Saturday, a little fan hang deal with Bobby and Will?
Let's go chronological. Okay. I was dealing with FOMO on Saturday, man, and you guys were partying it up, having a good time.
So Saturday was good. It was a great time. We went out to Boomer Jackson, Dallas. Then we carried it on to Plano, my neck of the woods, Katy Trail. It was a good time. While we were at Boomer Jack's, and shout out to Peyton, he was out there, Alec Medford, even though I thought they hated each other, maybe they were fighting. I can't confirm or deny that. Sean was there with his wife. Bobby came out late. Will came out late. Sandler was out there. And then I came out there with baby girl and wifey as well. And
only the third time your baby's been at a bar, right?
Yeah, it's restaurant. So that's why we were able to pull that one off. But it might be the fourth time, Eric. I don't know who's counting. They decided to go have a little beef, Bobby and Will, about Shador Sanders going number 1 overall. This morning, they kind of revisited this. I've cut this into parts. Here's part 1. Jared is explaining this Will versus Bobby fight that took place.
It was a flawed argument because...
And he said Shador's going to go 1.
Yeah, Will said Shador's going to go 1, which he very well might.
Probably not.
But he probably is going to be a top 10 pick.
Yes.
You were arguing what scouts were saying. Will was arguing what's going to happen in reality.
No, he's been arguing that for 2 years he has been the number 1 pick and that everybody has known it and anybody saying otherwise was wrong.
Okay, so I didn't hear that. That's not what I heard from Will.
Look, it doesn't matter.
But yeah, you guys got out of hand.
The fact that this went to the level that it did. The fact that it got to this level and Bobby, I thought, was going to smash the shot glass. He was like banging.
Oh, no,
yeah,
he was, like, twitching.
Yeah, and so Bobby did what Bobby does. You know, he's ordering the double shots of the vodka, and I think he had 2 of those. He says he added a single shot as well.
My goodness.
He was definitely angry. The two of them are going at it. Will's point is that, you know, just because some personnel guy tells you that, they can be stupid. I do think Shador probably is going to end up being the top quarterback taken. So they're feuding over this, and I'm a little bit worried about Bobby. Maya says, like, hey, I'm just going to take the baby home when we decide to switch and go to another place because she's getting a little bit fussy. She can't sleep because Bobby and Will are just yelling at each other. So now we go over.
Salute to Maya for being the adult.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
Wife was great. She handled the whole situation perfectly. So she takes the baby home. I ride with Bobby to Katy Trail. I'm thinking everything's okay. Well, we get to Katy Trail. Next thing you know, Bobby leaves about 5 minutes into this, and this is why Sean is annoyed at Bobby.
The reason I wrote double standard in my notes, you are the king troll. You get such a high off of getting under anyone's skin. But when Will does it back to you and he gets under your skin, you can't take it. Like, you deliver it and you get up and leave and try to mess up guy's day out.
Did you see, first off, did you see when Walchuk tried to draw me offsides? I was going, Stafford's so much better. That's trolling. Where I go, this
but
doesn't
that's
even
what guys no.
You just disagree.
Right. Bobby, I just sat here and listened for five effing minutes. No, Let me finish talking.
That's a bogus. That is what
he's about to do it again.
That is what guys do. We hang out. We give each other a hard time. We you know, like, that's what is wrong with what Walchuk said? Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly he's is saying, my point. My point is nothing. That didn't draw me off sides because it's so badly trolling. You're trying to get me. The issue is when Will has a genuinely bad point that he's like,
who cares?
Hold it.
Who cares?
Me. Who I can't cares? Stand when people are wrong. I can't.
Who cares?
I can't.
Like, you have to, and it's enough for you to leave? It's enough for you to
roll
out?
Well, again, there was a whole deep context here of just, I was already tired, clearly. I had to go home and, like, sleep and
your
knock
fault.
That out. Over to, not my fault. I mean, somebody's got to provide because the wife doesn't work. So there's that aspect of it. There's, I needed to go home and have an argument with Kristen. And I also was just not thrilled with Will. And so it was multi-pronged. And I'd also been drinking. And so that made me mad.
So I needed to go home and have an argument with my wife after I'd already been fighting with Will. Now, Will,
that
did,
whole clip from top to bottom.
It's amazing.
I mean, Sean talking about his notes, his double standard notes from Guy's Day. Like, he's taking notes about Guy's
it's
Day.
It's unreal.
Don't ruin the sanctity of Guy's Day out.
And
which
I
is
thought
a fair
as
point.
Soon as we're, like, I'm driving with Bobby, everything's fine. As soon as we got to Katy Trail, I'm thinking this is okay.
Yeah.
Then I turn around and he's left. Now, Will's right. Will texted me and said what really set him off. He was talking about Mel Kiper. And Mel Kiper and other mock drafts who talk to scouts and executives have also mocked him top five. Bobby goes, oh, who does Mel talk to? And Will said, more people than you do.
Oh.
And that's what set it off. That's what set off the argument. Now Bobby's ticked off. Okay, well, part three of this exchange this morning, Sean just absolutely loses it on Bobby.
We didn't stop talking.
Right.
We didn't not meet up because of it, because it was a sports fight.
Right. It was a troll. It was an obvious troll.
Okay.
It's when it's a bad take. It's when it's a bad take.
But you're not the king of sports. You're
it doesn't
you're newer
matter.
You're newer to this than Will.
What he
Will has
saying,
more skins on the wall than you
what
do.
He was,
Will's him, been around in sports talk longer than you. So you to become the arrogant ass emperor of sports talk radio and takes.
That's
is,
not the point.
That is the point.
No, it's a point about what's right or wrong. No, God. It's a point about what's right or wrong, about just what does value mean? When it comes down to who's in plugged in one way, who's plugged in another way, and just the idea of, like, what is the actual value of the player? That's what it's about.
You act like a little bitch.
Dump
with
that,
this.
Peyton. We're not allowed to call people that.
Go ahead. Dump it. I don't care. I just hate. I want you around, and I obviously enjoy your company. It's just always a beltdown. It's always some type of beltdown. The alcohol starts flowing way too much. It's freaking maddening, and I'm like, I don't want to not have Bobby around, but it's always like this is psycho behavior.
Oh my, this is psycho behavior.
Yeah.
Now, Sean did circle back just a couple minutes later, and he apologized because the B word triggers Bobby. And I've learned this from experience. I called him a B word because I didn't really believe that he got that triggered. No, he does. He take right. that's fighting words right there. So Sean did apologize for getting so heated. But this is great now because I'm reliving this on the air. I've got both Will and Bobby simultaneously texting me.
Oh, this is great.
F them. That's not what happened. That's not what I said. They're still clearly not over it.
Yeah.
But hey, what do you do when your friends are doing this at the bar with each other and we got a beltdown happening?
I don't know. You know, you hope one leaves, you go to another part of the bar, maybe like try to get them to actually fight, you know?
Let's just settle it outside.
Like an actual fight's an event. This arguing can go on way too long.
What was the volume? Like what was the tone and volume? Like are people
People
were
starting
the
to
bar,
look
looking,
at yeah, Boomer
right,
Jacks,
exactly.
And now poor Eliza's sleeping. Now she's awake.
Oh,
she's
wow.
been disturbed.
They woke up the baby.
They woke the damn baby up.
Whiskey Will and Bourbon Bobby, you think, I mean, no.
That's tornadic activity.
Yeah, that's loud.
Yeah, that's run for cover. That's board up your windows.
And to Will's point, like, they'll try and have a conversation. Then Bobby just gets louder.
Yeah.
He just gets louder. So now you can't make your point.
And you know from experience in a bar arguing
there,
over sports.
Yes.
We went at that dinner in Oxnard. The more he started drinking, now him and Jane, how loud they got.
Yeah.
I mean, Dawson and I were down at that end of the table. It got... to the point, I mean, they were like yelling at each other. Like, it was, it, yeah, Bobby gets really loud.
Will has said, that is absolutely not what I said, LOL. Said for 2 years he's been number one, and he wasn't even mad at him. Bobby is
still arguing about
in.
The details. Nobody cares about this, guys.
Bold bleeping lie from Will. That didn't even get me worked up. F Will. So the two of them are still going at it. Now, I carry
Cam
that
Ward
over.
Cam Ward might be the number one pick.
Cam Ward?
C-Dub.
Hey, Cam Ward's another quarterback we need to throw into the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm taking yours and back off my first.
That's it. I'm out of here. Brian said Cam Ward. Forget about it. Yeah, screw everybody.
The scouts can be wrong sometimes, you know? Hey, we never know. We never know.
The source off between Mel Kiper via Will Chambers and Bobby there is just
I do love the
incredible.
Term belt down, which we're going to have to use now.
Belt down's good, yes.
That's a great line.
It's
more,
so good.
More people than you do. I'd say Will won it. That was a knockout blow.
So yesterday,
that was just phenomenal, man.
I had a couple of buddies over to watch Red Zone. You know, I'm trying to soak in and enjoy,
that's a good time. Yeah,
enjoy Red Zone. So
hey, shout out to that host too. By the way, I was watching Red Zone too. My man, nonstop.
Scott Hansen.
Oh yeah. My God,
yeah. He's the man.
How much is he getting paid?
Not enough.
A whole bunch of millions.
I think his contract's up.
Yeah, his contract's up.
I bet he's like sponsored by Folgers Coffee or something like that, because my man is on one, dog, the whole time.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, as long as he doesn't have Shams' agent, this dude is going to absolutely end up crushing it.
He says he goes home after that and eats like a half gallon ice cream.
Oh, that's my guy. I love that man. That's amazing.
Plops down and just like, that's when he eats. And he says, I have a half gallon of ice cream. Just sitting.
And he goes seven straight hours of no bathroom.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to this game. Let's go to that game. Yeah. Let's go to this game. And he gives you all the info. Yeah. Like,
it's incredible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he doesn't over talk. I'm glad you brought up the bathroom, though.
I got a Scott Hansen net worth at $2 mil. But
it ain't enough.
The salary in the low six figures.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's
we need to triple that.
He needs a new agent.
We need to triple that.
They're probably like, what? You're only working 7 hours a day. What's the big deal here?
Yeah.
He probably jumped at the Red Zone gig and like just wanted that security of like a 5-year deal. And
that's exactly what they're thinking.
He's been dominating the whole time.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now it's time to pay up.
Now I mean, he chased off Siciliano, didn't he?
He did end him.
Yeah.
That channel's gone bye-bye.
Well, I appreciate us sending like a bunch of girls 2 and 4. That's probably every day between us and our banter.
So what happened at the house?
Yeah, what happened at your house, dude?
So we're sitting there having a good time. I had a buddy of mine that was over that I've known. I mean, we've been best friends going back to high school. We roomed together in college. We're not going to name his name.
Jared. He's a way back boy.
All of a sudden he goes, and he had just ordered ramen. He just punished
football
some
Sunday?
Ramen. Like everyone's ordering their own stuff. He gets ramen from Oni Ramen. Shout out to them. Great place. He's also a big Texas fan. Night before, he got completely obliterated because he was sad and hate watching. And so there might be some whiskey carryover. But all of a sudden, he's like, dude, I can't move. I think I just sharted. I think he's joking. We've done this. Like, this has happened before.
It's like whale in the water.
I don't think this is true. Next thing you know, he gets up. This dude is trapped on the couch.
What? How did he get through?
Bro, I don't want.
Did he
I don't
have short
know,
shorts on?
But there is stainage on the couch seat.
No.
And he slid over, so now there's a little bit of a smudge now in between two cushions.
Smudge?
Wow.
Poo smudge?
Yes.
Oh, my. This is a grown adult man.
He has to go and take a shower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shower.
Yeah. And you had to let him borrow
and
some of your undies.
I've got to figure out what am I going to do with this couch. Now, luckily, the cushions.
Is it leather?
I could unzip them. Maya was home.
Oh, no.
That's your friend. You need to deal with it.
Yeah. You just don't want her finding out.
That's your adult friend's
she
poop.
Knew.
Did he leave after the shower?
Well, it was in the man cave. She doesn't care as much. He didn't leave. He was very, very embarrassed. And he was like, you can tell this story. I was like, well, thank you for your permission. I was going to tell it regardless. Jared Hannon.
Okay.
He gave me permission to use the. And you guys have met him, so we know the degenerate that I'm dealing with here. And I love you to death. Yeah. But goodness gracious, he crapped all over the damn
This is.
Do I let him back over?
On the heels of the viral plunger question.
Yes.
To now, this dude is just straight alpha.
I threw away the towel that he used.
What about
to
your
clean
couch,
himself?
Though?
So the couch, like, I went ahead and I washed. I could unzip the cushion
the
that
covers.
It's on. The covers. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I washed the covers. I've washed.
So his poo has now been circulating into your washer and dryer.
Yes.
All right.
Now, I've had to run a couple of cycles. They seem to be okay. But at some point, I'm just going to need to throw that couch away because I can't look at it the same way.
You're 32 years old, Woolchuck?
33.
There's a time in every man's life where his buddies just don't come over as much. You know,
I might be. Hitting
like, think about your dad. Did he have a bunch of buddies coming over to watch football all the time?
No,
because he's a man. He's a dad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now you guys are in that transitional stage. It's going to happen between now and 40.
I don't want to lose that stage.
Gavin, I think that might have been the last straw.
That might have been it. My buddy starts crapping himself on my couch.
We'll meet up at the sports bar. We're going to have coffee.
Yeah.
There it is. A G-Bag Nation presents You Make the Call unlike any other. Wow, what an eventful weekend. Okay, yeah. We got football's finest coming up, Chief. Where are we taking it?
More takeaways from a legendary football Sunday. And we asked the question, are you techs in or techs out? Next in the Nation. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.